nothing will stop you. When you have experienced God, nobody will tell you that there is no God. When I was telling Kinde, I said, you have seen the hand of God. Let nobody, don't let anything convince you that there is no God. Because in everything we do, we always see the hand of God in our lives. It's only when you don't appreciate it, or when your eyes are not open, that's when you feel that God is not doing anything. But every time God is moving on our behalf, that you are here in church, you woke up, it is God. Many people slept, they were not sick, they were okay, but they didn't wake up. But here you are. You didn't only wake up, but you were okay. For you to have moved your legs and for you to have come to church, it means that God is good. Praise the Lord. On behalf of Father and the house, I welcome you to this service. I think today is the fifth Sunday that Daddy has, I won't say left us on our own, because God has always been with us. God has been faithful. So he sent his greeting, he sent his love. His spirit is here with us in the house. You know, this morning when I woke up and I came to the altar to pray, I just discovered that there was this unusual presence on this altar. I started talking to myself. I said, we just climbed this altar, and you know, you just climb anyhow. I said, wow. I just felt it when I climbed up and I knelt down and was praying. There was this thing that just came upon me. I said, wow, we don't even know what we even carry. Even us that we are living in this house, we don't even know what we have around us. And I just said, God, to you alone be all the glory. God indeed is here. God's presence is here. So we should not take it for granted. Anytime we climb this altar, just know that God is here. I've come to this altar several times to cry my heart out, to tell God what I want. And he has always listened. You know, last December 31st, Daddy said, write down everything you want God to do for you. I was just looking at my list recently, and I discovered that, wow, God, you have been so faithful. I was just saying, next time, maybe I'll just write like 3 or 4 pages, so that I'll just be ticking it. Indeed, God is here, and God answers our prayers. We continue with our series, When God Announces a Man, 3. When God Announces a Man, 3, in column. You know, we took 1, 2, 3, and we took some subtopics there. We will still go back to our anchor scripture. Technically, you should have crammed our anchor scripture, Joshua chapter 6, verse 27. We said, when God announces a man, it means divine announcement. That is announcement that is beyond us, announcement that we can never ever imagine that will happen to us. Joshua chapter 6, verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. This is God announcing Jesus Christ. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. 1 Kings 17, 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. This was God announcing Elijah. John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This is the voice and the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we quickly do a recap from last Sunday. You know the reason why I do recap is because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What you keep on hearing, has an impact in your spirit. You might not know it, but it's doing something to your spirit. It's doing something to your subconscious mind. And before you know what is happening, you start manifesting that thing that is inside of you. So that is why we have to do recap. That is why we have to be reading our anchor scripture over and over again until it sinks down into our spirit. So last Sunday, we talked about a subtopic, how do I command divine announcement? And we took some points. The first point is, the first prerequisite is to be born again. And we look at the story of Nicodemus. He came to Jesus because he was wondering, how come I'm also doing ministry? We are into the same business. We are doing the same thing. Why is it that you are making it and nothing is happening around me? And Jesus Christ told him that, hey, before you can do what I'm doing, you have to be born again. Why? Because it is only when you are born again, you are grafted into God's family. And that is when God will have the permission to announce you. The second thing we look at is divine presence and empowerment of the Holy Ghost. It is not enough for you to be born again. We said that you have to live in the consciousness of the presence of the Holy Ghost working with you. You have to make the Holy Ghost your party. You have to invoke the Holy Ghost in everything you do. You know, I told you that I will not tell you what I don't do. Yesterday that we had this engineering election, the election, I'm not a student, it has nothing to do with me. It was just that it was given to our unit. I'm not the head of my unit, I'm not the director, I'm not the organ, but I committed that election into God's hand, and I asked for a fair weather. I committed that election, and you know, at the end of the day, I just sat back and I just said, wow, God, you are just good. In fact, by the time I got there, I was among the first set of people that got there. I have arranged everything. Even before the electoral committee came, everything was said. They just came, they just said, wow. And everything went smoothly. To tell you that little things, that I don't just do things like that. Even if it does not concern me, as far as I am aware, I will just ask Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, take control. You know, when I got to, I said, Father, I thank you. Because I recognize the one that I carry. I recognize that Holy Spirit is with me. So there's no way I will be involved with something, then something will just go the other way around. So just being born again is not enough. Let us walk in the consciousness of being born again. You know, the children of Israel, when they wanted to cross the Red Sea, the Red Sea parted. It is not because of the children of Israel. It was because of the presence of God that they carry. Challenges will not give way because you are beautiful, because you are influential, because you are smart. No, they give way because of what you carry. The third thing we look at was obedience. You know, I told you that disobedience is the same thing as sin of witchcraft. It's not when someone starts flying about, we say the person is a witch. Even when we are disobedient in one way or the other, we should have it at the back of our mind that we are becoming witches. Praise the Lord. God will not make us a witch or a wizard in the name of Jesus. But you also have to do something. You know, Mommy Lord was saying that in Bible study yesterday, that there's the part of God and there's the part of man. You don't expect God to do his part, then he will also come and do your own part. It's not like when they give you work and they share duties, you will do your own, then you go and be doing another person's own that is just relaxing and flangering. No, you don't do that. So you don't expect God to now do his part, then he will now come and be doing your part. Why do you have brains? Why do you have mind? It's so that you will also be able to do your own part. You know, Joshua obeyed instruction before his fame was noised about. God told him, do this, do that. And he obeyed it to the letter. Then God started announcing him. If we are not obedient, if we are not submissive, there's no way God will announce us. Then another thing we looked at was meekness. And we saw this in the life of Moses. Moses was a very, very meek man. And what we define meekness as being humble and submissive. And to the extent that God had to make him a god unto Pharaoh, the most powerful king during their time. And he also made Aaron his prophet. You can imagine the way God elevated Moses because of his meekness. Then the fifth thing we look at was the revelation from the word of God. There's nothing you do in this life that you don't need revelation. You need insight so that you always be ahead and so that you don't make errors. That is why we come to church. That is why we are encouraged to know God personally for ourselves. And how do you know God if not through his word? Then we also looked at our gift. That our gift makes room for us. Don't despise your gift. Don't envy another man's gift. That's one that you are good at. Sit down on it. Polish it, make it very good, and before you know what is happening, God will showcase you to your world. And the last thing we dealt on was engaging prophecy. Prophecy has gone ahead of us. Prophecy will be going ahead of us. Don't go and sit down and say they have prophesied. No, you wage war with those prophecy on your knees. Keep declaring it. Keep acting it. It is not enough for you to declare it. Take conscious action. Be conscious about the action you take and let your actions align with what you are declaring. Praise the Lord. You know, I told you that copying is allowed. It's only in the kingdom of God you are allowed to copy. Copy prayer, copy message, copy testimonies. You are allowed to copy. So I hope I copied very well. Praise the Lord. So our subtopic today will be man, agent of announcement. Man, agent of announcement. Man, agent of announcement. One of the major agents of divine announcement is man. There is no way God will announce you without using a man. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. Genesis 1:28. We've been talking about divine announcement. One of the agents that God uses to announce a man is man. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. This was when God created man. He now blessed them. He said, be fruitful, subdue, replenish the earth, have dominion. That was the instruction God gave man. In fact, that was the blessing God imposed on man. So God cannot come out physically to this earth and carry microphone the way I'm carrying microphone and start announcing you and say, I'm announcing you. No, he introduces a man into our life because spirit beings are not permitted to operate here on earth. But when you see these spirits operating here on earth, it's because we have given them a platform or we have invited them. You just don't see them moving. Mm-mm. You don't. You know, someone was telling me, was it yesterday or day before yesterday? The person said that when you have twins, that there's a spirit associated with having twins, having triplets like that. I said, hey, what kind of spirit? She said there was an encounter one woman had that she beat one of the twins. And, you know, she was cooking. I don't know what one of the twins did. She now beat them. So the twin aunt said that this food that she's cooking will not cook. So at the end of the day, the food kind of divided into two. Half was well cooked. The other half was just the way it was. So she was saying, Kai, twins, so when you have twins, you have to be very careful. I said, they are operating with familiar spirit. And she said, but they are Christian. I said, so everybody knows what they do. Everybody knows what they do when they give birth, what they do before they had that child. So it's familiar spirit. That if you don't give the devil a platform to operate, the devil will not just come like that. It will not just enter your house because it has not been permitted. So when you see things going like that, when you see strange things happening, it's because you have created a platform. I said, so she said, is it possible for Christians to create platform? I said, yes, it's possible for born-again Christians to give the devil a platform to operate in their lives. You just see strange things happening in your life, then you say, no, it's either someone strange has come into your life, someone strange has stepped into your house, someone strange has touched you. That is it. I know that is why we encourage you. Just don't wake up in the morning and just fly out like that. No, you don't know what people have done in the middle of the night. Then they come and they start touching you and a lot of things and start introducing strange spirits to you. So spirits are not permitted. And you know, I used to say that it's not only children or teenagers that get influenced negatively. Because when the devil wants to destroy a man, he introduces a man. He copies God. And that is why I said in the kingdom of God, copying is allowed. He copies God. So you don't say, I don't used to say teenagers get influenced. Adults can get influenced negatively. Everybody can get influenced, either positively or negatively. And in our Bible study, we said we have to be very careful with the kind of association we keep, so that you don't suffer for the sins you know nothing about. Most of the time we suffer because of association. We know nothing about this thing, but because we are in the wrong camp, we start suffering for the sins of those people. I pray God will give us understanding and let the spirit of discernment be manifested in us. We have to pray for this thing. That is one spirit we should desire very well. Spirit of discernment, so that you will know what to do part time. So for God to announce us, we need a man in our life. God has to introduce a man in our life. Look at the story of Jesus, our perfect example. John the Baptist had to announce Jesus. Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 to 3. Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 to 3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. You can see, God had to bring John the Baptist to announce Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ, who is God. Angels and even God have announced him. But it was not enough for him to be able to function well on earth. God has to send John the Baptist before him. Joseph was another example that was announced by the chief butler from the prison to Pharaoh. And we are going to be picking some lessons from the story of Joseph. We are going to be picking some principles from the story of Joseph. Genesis chapter 40. I will start my reading from verses 1 to 4. Then as we are reading, we'll be picking our lessons from it. Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 to 4. Verse 1. Excuse me. And it came to pass after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. You know, Daddy gave us a story one day that Pharaoh was so powerful that if Pharaoh says his beans we are eating today, you don't have an opinion. Everybody in Egypt must eat beans. You cannot say you are eating bread. You cannot say you are eating rice. That was how Pharaoh, that was how powerful Pharaoh was. You don't have an opinion. What Pharaoh says is what everybody will say. That is what everybody will accept. Verse 2. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butler and against the chief of the bakers. Verse 3. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. He just threw them inside prison where Joseph was. Genesis 14:4. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. Then the captain of the guard, that's the prison ward, now called Joseph. These ones that they've thrown into the prison, I'm handing them over to you. Take charge, attend to them, keep them. That's the meaning of that statement. And he served them, and they continued a season in ward. He served them. Joseph did not complain. He just handed him over. You know, Joseph too was thrown into prison unjustly. He was thrown into prison, accused of something he didn't do or even imagined to do. So he too was also in prison. So our first lesson from there, be sensitive to know the nature of people around you. Be sensitive to know the nature of people around you, especially at your low moments in life, when you are down. It's not every time you will be happy. It's not every time things will move the way you want them to move. But you have to be sensitive to know the people around you, especially when you are down. These men were in prison. They had the same challenge that Joseph had. But you know what? When they came, Joseph kept his own challenge aside and he attended to them. He was conscious of the people around him. He didn't allow his own problem to overwhelm him. He didn't say, after all, we are in the same shoe. This and this is what happened. You're on your own. No. Things like that. No, he attended to them. He saw beyond their condition. He was able to see beyond their condition. Judges chapter 6 verse 12. This is the angel of God appearing to Gideon. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. What was Gideon doing that time? Gideon was hiding to extract wine, to make wine, because the Midianites were oppressing them. But the angel of the Lord came and said, this guy, you are bold, you are mighty. And you know, Gideon said, I'm mighty, then why are we suffering? Why are we hiding? Why me? And God said, no, that is not who you are. It is circumstances, it is situation that has made you to believe that this is who you are. But this is not who you are. And you know, because God sees differently from the way we see, that is why you have to see men beyond the physical appearance. That the way they appear to you, you have to see beyond that. It is not easy, but it is possible. Because God will not tell you to do something that is impossible. It is not easy for you to encourage someone when you also need encouragement. But God knows that you can do it. That is why he has instructed us to do it. See our Lord Jesus Christ with Simon Peter. John chapter 1 verse 42. John 1:42. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simeon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Let me have it in the message. He immediately led him to Jesus. Jesus took one, looked up and said, you are John's son, Simeon. From now on, your name is Cephas or Peter, which means rock. You can see the encounter. Peter was being seen as someone that was not stable. Someone that you can just turn. You know, there are some people is what you, when they say do this, they do that without thinking. Another person comes, says they do that. As if they just live their life as if they don't have direction. But see what Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, 18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee. Jesus Christ saying, you are Peter, you are the rock, and on you I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Anytime we come in contact with people, we should see the greatness in them. We should help them unlock the greatness that is in them. Don't deal with people based on what you are seeing. Don't look down on people. In summary, that's the summary of that first lesson, first principle. Don't look down on people because you never know what they will become in future. You never know, maybe you will need their help. Praise the Lord. Number 2. Be genuinely concerned about men. Be genuinely concerned about men. Don't fake it. Be genuinely concerned about men. Genesis 40, verses 5 to 7. Genesis chapter 40, verses 5 to 7. And they dream a dream, the same butler and the same baker. And they dream a dream, both of them. Each man is dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. They were in prison, then they dreamt the same night. And Joseph came in unto them, verse 6, in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. That means every time they wake up, Jacob will check on them, they will chat, how are you? Hope you are okay, everything like that. What do you need? What do you want to eat? Should I fan you? All those kind of things. But you know, that day, their countenance was different. Most of the time, people around us, we just bone as if we don't see what is happening. Someone you move with, people around you, you should be able to know. You don't need any prophet to tell you that something is wrong. For you to know that Joseph was actually caring for them. He was not faking it. He was not doing eye service. When they commit things into our hands, is it eye service we do it always? Or we do it genuinely? When you do something genuinely, you will see the way the spirit of discernment will be manifested in you. He saw them. He said, "Ah, what is wrong?" Because they were sad. Verse 7. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look you so sadly today? Why are you so sad?" Joseph was genuinely concerned about them. Don't be selfish. Don't get too carried away with your troubles, with your challenges, that you refuse to help others that need your help. Put your problem aside, then concentrate on these ones that need your help. Concentrate on them. Joseph went to them and he showed genuine concern. He was actually concerned. Men know when you are genuinely concerned with them. Men know when you are compassionate. Men know when you are merciful unto them. So don't say, they doesn't know that I'm just faking it. They know. For the fact that they are not talking that you are faking, doesn't mean that they don't know. You know, sometimes we just believe that we are smarter than some people. Let it come, let it flow from inside of you. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. See what happened to Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 9, 36. You know, we said it in the opening chat that Jesus Christ is our perfect example. If there's one example we should follow in the Bible, totally is the exam is Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus Christ moved with compassion. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and 41. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me heal. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, "I will, be thou clean." It was the compassion Jesus Christ had for that leper that healed him. Each time you deal with men based on compassion, you move God to act. You just move God to act. Last week, as I wasn't preparing message, there was something they gave me to do in the office for people that were due for promotion. And there was this man that was very, very close to me, and he had issues. So I now saw his mate being promoted to professorial cadre. As I was just looking through the record, and I saw this people's name. I think I was sharing this thing with mommy law or with daddy. I just set aside my laptop. Tears came down from my eyes. I said, "Wow, assuming this guy is still around in the system, he too would have been promoted to a professorial cadre." And I dropped my laptop and I knelt down and I started pleading the mercy of God. I said, "Father, show him mercy. Show him mercy. For he was unjustly punished. Because of this, Father, lift him up. Promote him. Take him to places beyond his widest imagination." I know that was why when we're dealing with divine announcement, I started prophesying everything that me myself have preached. You know, before I come and preach, I will also preach this message to myself. And I say, "Father, as I'm reading this thing, as I'm going through it, let my word come." So everything that we have learned, I started prophesying. I knelt down. In fact, throughout that day, I didn't touch that one, because my heart went out to him. So I started pleading. And I believe God. So when I stood up, I knew God has answered me. What I'm just waiting for, I'm waiting for a testimony. So that is what happened with compassion. When you are moved with compassion for someone, the way God answers your prayer, because our God is a God of mercy. Mercy is his middle name. Another name of God is mercy. So what do you do? You provoke the mercy of God. There was this story that he told us one time. I don't think maybe it was this year or last year he shared this story with us. He said there was this pastor that was praying for a couple in his church. They've been believing God for the fruits of the womb. After several years of marriage, eventually God blessed them with a baby boy. I think the boy was around 3 or 4 years old. Then the boy fell sick. They took him to the hospital before they knew what was happening. That's how the boy just died. So they sent for their pastor. And the man came. Why? Why now? What could have gone wrong? Everything still. It was not that the boy's case was so hopeless. It was not that it has gotten out of hand before they brought the boy to the hospital. Do you know what the parents were unconsolable. How do you console such a couple? Someone that has been believing God for the fruits of the womb, and one came, and after several years, the enemy came and took it away. What do you say to such a person? What? So the pastor could not say anything. You know, I told you that it's not every time you have to talk. Sometimes you just keep quiet. If you don't know what to say, just keep quiet. It's not every time we have to open our mouth and start saying. You just keep quiet. And that was the case with that pastor. He was a lot of questions in his heart. But he couldn't voice that. He just carried the baby and now put the baby on his chest. And he started crying. He was moved with compassion. He started weeping. The parents were weeping. Church member was weeping. But the man, the pastor carried the baby and started weeping. And before you know what was happening, the child sneezed and came back to life. No prayer. He was just weeping, moved with compassion for the parents. And the baby came back to life. And you know, they didn't pray, they didn't do anything. When he got home, he asked the Holy Spirit, what exactly did I do? You know, so that he would be able to apply the same principle to other areas. Which principle did I invoke? And guess what? The Holy Spirit said, your compassion. You invoked the compassionate part of God. You were compassionate. You were merciful. It was genuinely from your heart. Then God had no choice but to bring the boy back to life. That is what compassion does for us. That is why it has to be genuine. You know, I used to tell my boys, I said, there's no place you find yourself on the surface of this earth that you will lack help when you need it. I said, we have sown seed of help. So you cannot lack. In fact, when you need help, if you don't know any prayer to pray, just pray that I call upon the God of my father, help me. I call upon the seed my parents have sown, help me. That is why you have to sow seed. And I also told them, don't exhaust all the seed we have sown, then you are not sowing seed for your own children. Yes, your own children to be able to say, I call upon the God of our Father. The seed that my parents have sown, I call upon them. I key into it. Sometimes we'll be praying. That day we say, I step into the harvest of my Father. Even though my Father is no longer alive, I step into the harvest of my Father. And so we're calling forth our own harvest, then you also sow seed. So when you do this thing, you have sown seed of compassion. When you need mercy, when you need people to be compassionate about you, when you need people to help you, God will raise them. Why? Because you have sown a seed. You know, we used to tell you that sowing of seed is not only about money. Giving. No. Showing mercy, being compassionate is also part of the seed we sow. At the same time, don't be merciful and compassionate then you allow people to take you for granted. No. Be wise. I pray God will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. Number 3. Use your gifts to help and serve others. Use your gifts to help and serve others. We can see this demonstrated in the life of Joseph. Genesis chapter 40, verses 8 to 13. And they said unto him, still the story, we have dreamed a dream. When he asked them, why are you sad? Then they started explaining. And there's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretation belongs to God? Tell me then, I pray you. He said, you have dreamt a dream. They said, there is nobody to interpret. Joseph said, interpretation of dream belongs to God. But Joseph knew that that is one of his gifts that God has given. He said, tell me your dream. I pray you, share it with me. You know, there's a way you talk to people and people will relate their problem to you. And there's a way you talk to people and they just shut up. I mean, they just shut up their spirit. They don't want to talk to you. But see the way Joseph presented. He said, I pray you, tell me. They saw the genuineness in the voice of David. You know, sometimes we say some things with our mouth, but our tone is saying another thing. Just like I used to jokingly say, when I call, how are you? I'm fine. Say, your mouth is saying I'm fine, but your tone is saying all is not well. And you know, I told you last Sunday, the wrong answer you can give me is, everything is fine. I will not allow you to rest. But if you now tell me, I don't want to talk about it. I give you space. But if you say everything is fine, you will not go free that day. That was what Joseph did. He said, I pray you, tell me, what is it that is disturbing you? Verse 9, and the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. Verse 10, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossom shot forth, and the cluster thereof brought forth ripe grapes. Verse 11, and Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grape and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. He said that it was as if I had three branches. You know, dreams can be very funny at times. He said three branches were in my hand, they were growing, and they brought forth fruit, and there was cup in my hand again. So what I did was I just plucked those grapes and I squeezed it inside the cup in my hand, and I then gave Pharaoh to drink. Verse 12, and Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou was his butler. He said, this is the interpretation. And the three branches, they are just 3 days. After 3 days, Pharaoh will send for you. And what you are doing for Pharaoh, you will continue to do it for him. You will be serving him wine. That was what Joseph told you. Despite the fact that Joseph didn't like where he was in prison, he was an encourager. He interpreted that dream for the butler and the baker. Though we know the dream of the baker didn't go well. When men leave you, do they live as a better person, or they live sad? You know, there are some people that you talk to, after you have spoken to them, you are drained. You are even very sad because they would have discouraged you. They would have told you all manner of things. But Joseph's case was not like that. Joseph knew how to interpret it. He knew how to use his gift, and he used it. He has been polishing his gift. He didn't despise his gift. He didn't say, I'm in prison now. Of what use is this gift to me? No, he didn't. Wherever you are positioned, wherever you find yourself, whether you are in the midst of a storm, whether you are in the lion's den, your gifts are always there with you. Do not at any point in time despise your gifts. Don't be in your comfort zone before you start appreciating your gifts. Your gifts can work for you anywhere, anytime. So always appreciate your gifts anywhere you are found. Don't allow your problems to overwhelm you. Don't allow your problems to subdue you. Don't allow your problems to overtake you. Then you forget that thing that God has deposited inside of you. You must also know when to deploy your gift free. You know, Joseph didn't go and say, how much will you pay me? There are some people, you call them to do something for you, the first thing they put in front is money. That is why sometimes you see that people don't favor them. The first thing is money. How much will you sweep this compound for me? The first thing is, how much will you pay? That is the way some of us do around men. Then people just get pissed off and they just say, this person is particular about money. Money should not be the first thing. There are so many things that money cannot buy for you. You can see Joseph, he didn't say, after all, you are one of the main Pharaoh's guy. So how much will you pay if I interpret this gift? No! He didn't. Even when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, he didn't put money first. Pharaoh didn't call him and say, okay, this is my dream. And he would say, this is your dream, the way this your dream is going. You will need to pay like $1 million. No, he didn't. That is why you should be aware of all these false prophets. They will prophesy. The first thing they will say, after telling you the problem, the next thing they will say, bring money, we have to buy this, we have to buy that. No! That is not the way God designed it. Let your gifts come first. Then things that money cannot buy, we bring those things. We bring money for you. Do you know that was what Joseph did? He deployed his gift freely. He didn't ask for anything in return. Be sensitive to know when an opportunity comes your way. That is why I say, always be ready with your gift. Each time your gifts meet with opportunity, there's a lifting. And that was what happened in the life of Joseph. Number 4, be bold to ask for help when you need it. Just like I said earlier, Joseph didn't say, what will you do for me before I interpret your dreams? No, it was when he had interpreted the dream. See what Joseph did. Genesis chapter 40, verses 14 and 15. Be bold to ask for help when you need it. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and shew kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrew, and here also have I done nothing, that they should put me into this dungeon. He said, I have interpreted this dream for you. When you get to that place, when you get to your palace, please remember me. Mention me to Pharaoh. You know, most of the time, some of us are so proud. We'll be suffering and you don't ask for help. I'm not saying go about and start asking people, help me, help me, help me, help me. But when you need help, ask genuinely and ask genuine people for help. When you know you need help, don't sit down and start dying in soul and you now start dying. Suffering, you are dying. You know, me and Mommy Lord were scolding one of our sons. We said, don't die in silence. That is why this church is a family. Even if you don't know anybody to come and meet, come and meet us. Come and meet us. The worst we can say is that we don't have. But you know, there's no way you will come that something will not drop. So please, when you need help, ask for help. But at the same time, just don't go. Mommy, I said that when I need help, I should ask for help. Yinkasis, can I get 500? Francis, 1,000. Julius, 5,000. Because you are doing online this thing. That's it. 10,000. No! Please, if they come asking you, come and report to them. Me, myself, I will flog them. You understand? So don't go about those sides and say, Sister Pat should be able to give me 100,000. Mommy, I said you should not be ashamed to ask for help. Mommy, I said these people that don't ask for help, they are proud. No, that is not what I'm saying. That is not why. And when they're asking you for help, know that the help they're asking for is genuine. I'm not saying you should turn yourself to a beggar. Joseph didn't do that. Joseph didn't do that. Joseph was not going about saying, give me 5,000, give me this, give me that. No, he said, mention me. So when you actually need help, ask for help. As you see me, I cannot come and kill myself. I used to tell them, I can't kill myself. When I need help, I open my mouth. And when I'm asking for help, I will open my mouth and spell it out. Please, I need your help. That is why we spell it out. Please, I need your help. On Tuesday, when I needed Mommy Lydia's help, I called her. After greeting, I said, please, I need help. I'm sure she'll be wondering, what kind of help can Mommy ask for me? I say, I need help, oh. Come down and meet me in the hospital. I ask for help. So when you need help, please don't be ashamed to ask for help. Don't miss opportunities to ask for help. See Joseph, after the interpretation of dream, he now asks, when you get to the palace, please don't forget me. Even God himself, Jesus Christ, he needed, when he wanted to start his ministry, he asked for the help of 12 disciples to help him, to assist him. He had the help of the 70 to assist him. So please genuinely ask for help when you need help. And don't be a beggar. That is one what I'm saying. I hope you understand the difference between the two. I ask for help when I need. And people have always been helping me because they know I'm asking for genuine help. And when people also ask me for my help, I also help them. All these things that we do, we are sowing seed. Appreciate divine endorsement. Appreciate divine endorsement. That's the last point we'll be taking. Appreciate divine endorsement. Genesis chapter 41. We move to chapter 41 now, from verses 9 to 14. Genesis chapter 41, verse 9. Then speak the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my fault this day. You know, when he got to the palace, he forgot totally about Joseph. He got carried away by all the effigy in the palace. But you know, God remembered Joseph. And God troubled Pharaoh's dream. Gave him a dream that nobody could interpret. So the chief butler came and told Pharaoh. Verse 10. Pharaoh was wroth with his servant and put me in the ward, in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dream a dream in one night, I and he. We dream each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream. He did interpret. You cannot imagine, assuming Joseph was rubbing shoulder with them, or assuming Joseph did not treat them. You know, even if Joseph interpreted the dream, they won't remember Joseph. There is no way they would have remembered Joseph. Anytime they remember Joseph, they will just remember Joseph for evil. I think it was in our Bible study yesterday, we were praying one prayer, that men will not remember us for negative things. They will not remember us for pain. They will only remember us for good. So when your name is mentioned, it shouldn't be associated, what this person did to me. I will never forget. It's this person that sent me to prison. Our name should not be associated with negative things. See, they remember they said, I've committed an offense. So he interpreted our shame. Verse 13. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto my office, and him he hanged. Verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. The chief butler appreciated divine announcement. Divine announcement. Appreciate divine announcement. Know that this person, God has announced this person. This is the gift this person has. So when opportunity opens, you just send for that person. There was this story Daddy told us of a young man that was looking for admission into NDA, Nigeria Defense Academy. You know this school, they have a lot of protocol, a lot of tests they will do for you to be admitted. So, but this guy was rejected. And guess what? They said he was too short, that they don't admit short people, that he was too short. That was his only offense, that he was born short. So they sent him away. Then someone gave him a note. He said, go and meet the emir. The emir will help you. So he went and met the emir. Then the emir gave him a note. He said, take it back to that NDA where they have rejected you. Go back there. And when he took the note there, they just read it and they just said, okay, you're admitted. We've given you admission. And that was how they registered him. And guess what was in the note? The emir just wrote in the note. He didn't say, please admit him. He's my relative. He's my this, is that. He just said, I have added the height for him. He said, I have added the height. So maybe they said he was 5 centimeters short. He just said, I have added 5 centimeters. He said he has added the weight. Who is adding weight for you? Who is speaking for you? Who is announcing you? Who is the person that God has positioned into your life? Joseph needed the endorsement of the butler. He recognized his helper when he came. You know, there's this prayer we used to pray, that Father, open my eyes to recognize my destiny helper when they come. May I not despise them. Because when you despise them, when you get to that junction where you need them, they will not be there to help you. They will close their ears. They will close their eyes to your cry. Is it that God has not heard you? Is it that God has not sent helper? No, God has sent helper. But what did you do with that help? What did you do with your destiny helper? What did you do with them? That is one prayer we should be praying. Open my eyes to recognize my destiny helper. I pray God will grant us understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Why don't you bow your heart and say, Father, I thank you for your word that has come again. I bless your name. I worship you. Father, help me to always ask for help when I need it. Father, help me to polish my gift. Help me to use my gift to serve others.